Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, along with Mark Price Producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Brandon Jessup, who is chairman and CEO of a group called Michigan Forward. Good evening, Brandon. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm just fine. How are you doing?
Very good. When we spoke about a little over a week ago, we were talking about a referendum campaign getting going. And first, I had asked you before about what Michigan Forward is, and I'm looking at your website now. It's a progressive policy think tank for Michigan's urban and metropolitan areas, which is very succinct and appropriate and nicely said. Wanted to get back in touch with you because you've moved another step in a coalition to repeal Public Act 4. You had a press conference on Monday. Tell me where things are.
Well, right now we're waiting on the Board of Canvassers to have their next meeting. We've submitted our petitions to form to the Board of Canvassers, and we're pretty sure that once the Board of Canvassers approves our petitions, that we'll be right in the thick of things. We have a statewide training slated for June 4th. Locations are coming soon, so we're feverishly gathering volunteers. I think we've gained about 100 over the last 24 hours. So,
well, and again, looking at your website and doing a little bit of research, your numbers. I mean, you've grown 100 in the last 24 hours or so. You're up over like 500 or so in the Pontiac area alone.
Yes, we are. We're almost not in the Pontiac area alone. If we do have 500 volunteers, I definitely want to talk to all those folks in Pontiac. I think at Pontiac we're around 250.
Well, I see. That's what happens when you read things too quickly, Brandon. I don't mind being corrected any day, so I appreciate that.
Problem.
But gaining numbers, which has to tell you that there are other folks who are aligning with you on the effort to repeal that. And, of course, Public Act 4 is the bill signed into law by the Governor Snyder regarding emergency financial managers.
Yes. We have a huge groundswell of support. Monday, Congressman John Conyers and his office joined us to in our press conference, so that was a huge lift for us. We have large organizations, small organizations, community bar clubs across the state that are signing on daily. We've got a pledge for 500 signatures from a small block club here in Detroit on the east side, and we're getting pledges like that, almost daily. So, I think we may even beat our deadline for November, may be able to submit signatures to the Board of Canvassers maybe sometime this summer or early fall.
And what is it in particular, and again, you and I discussed this before, but what is it about the emergency financial managers that you just think is against everything we should be?
Oh, yeah, well, it's a 100% unfunded mandate. That's what it is. Public Act 4 and the broad powers given to some of these emergency managers, to dissolve governments once again. Is you wonder where we are in democracy in Michigan, where we appoint elite bureaucrats to come in and take over our local communities and in our school districts without any real accountability or transparency to these folks. Yesterday, our new emergency manager here in the city of Detroit for our Detroit Public Schools announced that he really didn't know exactly where our school district's deficit was, that it would be more than the $300 million that Robert Bob estimated at the end of the school year. So if we're seeing even more of a deficit, well, what's the purpose of emergency managers, and why would we give them even more powers when they have these huge monumental tasks ahead of them, and giving them more powers honestly doesn't help at all?
I'm wondering, yesterday I had on a guest on this show, Brandon, who was the mayor of Jackson, Karen Dunnigan, who has just requested an emergency financial manager come in and take a look at things in Jackson. Do you see any value to an emergency financial manager coming into a municipality or to a school system?
Yes, I do. In the need of, to balance books and finances, I understand that a lot of times we elect public officials that aren't accountants, that don't have CFAs. To that standpoint, yes, I do think we need emergency managers in some instances. Now, I'm aware about the request from Jackson, but I would caution that, under Public Act 4, that requesting a review for the state treasurer, what that does, it really puts you on a slippery slope to nowhere. And we need to have another mechanism of review with our state treasurer, or his office, for municipalities that are facing fiscal crisis. I really would warn Jackson to ask Highland Park, to ask Flint, to ask Benton Harbor, and to talk to Pontiac about what's going on with their emergency managers, and if they really want to take that step.
Well, and it's interesting, as you said, emergency financial managers have been around before, in years before, just not in this enforcement kind of way, is my understanding.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We've coming into this year, we have 4 emergency managers in the state of Michigan. Of course, Benton Harbor was another city, Detroit Public Schools, and then, of course, Pontiac. Well, now, I'm pretty sure you're aware of it, Cheryl, but, you know, earlier this year, there was announced that we may have upwards to 100 municipalities, cities, townships, counties, that may be facing a financial deficit. Therefore, they're pretty much at risk for emergency management. And also, we've seen upwards to 150 school districts and various reports saying that they may be in danger for emergency management going into this school year. So we see, it's almost a thousandfold increase in the need for emergency managers. And if our crisis is that strong in the state of Michigan, I really think that Governor Snyder and our legislators should look at finances in a totally different scope. And look at what can we do to assist our local municipalities and our school districts instead of cutting taxes.
that's a valid point, because I was going to say, you know, as I've spoken with folks before, I asked the question, you know, if it has been run so poorly that they're in this kind of trouble, there are those who say, bring them in. They haven't done the job.
Yeah. And you know, we're in a tough situation. A lot of our local municipalities are bound by the fact that they can't raise state taxes, local revenue themselves. And once again, you see cities like the city of Detroit, which earlier in the 2000 millennium, we decided not to increase city income taxes and actually take a cut for city income taxes in exchange for more revenue sharing from the state. We haven't received that increased revenue sharing yet. It's been almost a decade.
Well, Brandon, it's a fascinating subject, and it's quite a debate, and we'll continue to follow it. I appreciate your time to fill us in on where you are with the process. Thank you, Brandon.
No problem. Thank you, Cheryl. Talk to you soon.
I hope so. Thank you. Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.